And worship has to do with your health. And it's not just physical health, but physical health is part of it. Hi, how are you, young lady?
I'm well.
Okay. It has to do with emotional, mental, physical, spiritual health. And so we're going to start that. By the way, what we do in church, and I want everybody to understand that what we do, those of us who lead the worship service, are actually what we are, our goal is to provide you with an environment where you can get into the presence of God. The music, the message, the prayers, all that we do is an opportunity for you to get into the presence of God. Now, not all people use that. Some people just come to church. But that's not the point of it. At least from where we are up here, our goal is to provide an environment where we can worship as God's people. So I want to talk about that today. So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us today, that as we come and worship you and we come to this building and we have a worship service, that you would come into our presence and we would come into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to read the scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, which you have printed in your bulletin. And I want us to look at that, and just as you read it, think about what's going on here, okay? Here we go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Now, as you look at this, Isaiah's response to this vision of the Lord, throne of God and the unimaginable holiness of God and the absolute glory of God is one of a horrible sense of unworthiness that Isaiah has. He's struck down by the overwhelming presence of God. He says, "Woe is me, I am lost, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in a corrupt society." Now, we need to understand Isaiah's response to the vision of God's glory from our perspective. Isaiah is a man we would probably call holy, a holy man who loved the Lord. He was a spiritual man who comes before the Lord, and he is overwhelmed in his presence. We would be inclined to say to him, if anybody can handle standing in the presence of the Lord and see a vision of God's glory, well, certainly Isaiah was ready. He should have been able to handle that. If anybody could handle it, Isaiah could. But Isaiah says, this is how I felt. I was undone. I couldn't handle it. And I think that is not only the way I feel, but it's probably the way you feel from time to time when you come into the presence of the Lord and worship services. We come from our individual places. But some of us come and we got things going on in our lives that are not good. And sometimes we come into a worship service and I notice that people come in while we're singing sometimes. And I wonder what the feeling is. Because if you come from a week or a day that has been filled with times of frustration and irritation, maybe anger and all that goes with us, times when the impurity of the world has in one way or another just rocked your life, or maybe your own sin has rocked your life, or your own heart or mind is corrupted or tainted because of the thoughts that you're having and things like that. It's not that you have committed sin so much as you come in and you feel, I'm not worthy to be here. And Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah said, I don't feel worthy to be here. It was what was happened then in the presence of the glory of God, an Isaiah sense of unworthiness that is the focus of today's message for all of us. The Lord commissioned an angel to come to him and meet him at his point of need where he felt unworthy. The angel took a hot coal from the fire on the altar of God. He came and he touched Isaiah's lips. And that is interesting because that is exactly what Isaiah had said is the part of him that was not pure, that was wrong. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel took the coal and touched his lip. And I am persuaded that if Isaiah had said, I'm a man of unclean hands, that the angel would have taken the coal and touched his hands. If he had been a man who had said, I'm a man of unclean mind, the angel would have come and touched and purified his mind. We need to see that it is in the environment of worship that we experience holiness in the presence of God. Now, as I said, we try to create an environment where that can happen. When we are called to come and worship and welcome by God, it's exactly that situation of worship which is designed for our restoration. Worship is not a place where we are weighed down by all that we aren't, but worship is a place where we're introduced to the wholeness of God in our lives. Now, I'm going to do a word study today that will give us a picture of what it means to live in health and wholeness. As you look at this vision of Isaiah, we need to recognize that these angelic beings are worshiping and glorifying God, and the words being said are, Holy, 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 Lord of hosts. So the focal point is on God's holiness. Now, when we look at God's holiness, we tend to think of words like purity and cleanliness, and holiness is pure. It's pure, but our idea of purity is that we work our way into purity, and we envision God saying to us, you had better get this way or I'm not going to be happy with you. Somehow we work our way to holiness and purity. People who want to be in God's will know that they want to live according to His will, and they want to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We may come with a full heart, but somehow it just doesn't happen. And then this is the way we begin to think. I know that I should worship the Lord, but sometimes I cringe. And I draw back because I feel unworthy. I just feel like I shouldn't be here. I feel unholy, even dirty at times. And the message of this vision in Isaiah is that the Lord wants us to come in love to worship because it is in His presence that wholeness and health are restored to us. Now, this is what was in your bulletin this morning. The words wholeness and the word holiness sound the same. And it's not by accident, because they have the same root word along with several other words that you've got up here. Wholeness and holiness come from the English word of the 11th century, H-O-L, hall. It's a derivative of hall is the word hail, and which Shakespeare used to give as a greeting. You say hail today and people look around for a storm cloud. But it's a word that was used for a greeting, hail. We say hello, which is also a derivative of hall, just as the old English word hail is. There's a whole series of words up here that are derivatives of this old English word, hall. So, holy, whole, hello, health, heal, healing, and of course, healing is to make someone whole. Now, this is not just playing with words, because these are all cognate words that are related to one another, and they are related to the word whole, which is all about wholeness or completeness. So when we speak of holiness, we're speaking on a spiritual level. Actually, we're speaking on all levels. When I'm born again or I receive Jesus as my Savior, I am called a holy person, a saint. That's what it means. I have been made alive through God's redemption in Jesus Christ in my mind, my emotions, my spiritual life, even my physical life, and we are made whole mentally, emotionally, and therefore we become healthy. If a person has a mental breakdown or if there's some kind of developmental condition in which they are mentally impaired or there's a physical handicap of some kind, we say that they are not whole. In other words, they are not complete. Health is the physical expression of being complete, being whole, being a spirit, soul, body. All of these things have to do with the basic idea of H-O-L, the idea of being complete. That's the idea of holiness. Holiness essentially is God's perfect completeness entering into my imperfections and my humanity and my incompleteness. So let me say this again. Holiness is essentially God's perfect completeness entering into my imperfect incompleteness. Now, but the only way that holiness can happen in me is when I come into God's presence. God does not chase me around with a bucket full of holiness. As I come to God, the Lord says, it is in my presence that you will find fullness of joy and the entry of my grace into you and my life happening in you, which makes you complete. But you have to come in worship. And worship is just getting into the presence of God. We provide an environment where that can happen, we hope. Our coming to the Lord in worship is actually the experience in which we come to receive wholeness happening in our lives. We're coming to worship Him who is holy, to become holy in ourselves through God's presence. Now, our problem is we go at worship backwards. We say things like this: I feel so unworthy to be in God's presence. We even say that about church sometimes. With what has been going on in my life, these walls may come crashing down if I come here. When I show up in here, lightning may strike me dead. Statements like this, and I've heard those statements, and many others essentially say, I feel unworthy to be in the presence of anything or anyone holy. Someone who's been away from church for a long time and they come back may feel unworthy. So let's talk about this unworthiness that we feel for a minute, because that's what Isaiah felt in this vision. He says, woe is me, I am not worthy to be in God's presence. Now, when I think of unworthy, my mind takes a right turn, and I think about Garth and Wayne in Wayne's World when they met Alice Cooper, and I have that short little clip for you. This is where my mind goes when I think of unworthy. We not have it? Well, don't worry about it then. Give you a second? We're not worthy. Just can it for the next time. The Greek word for worthy is axios. It was a word to describe coins. Now, I have a couple of coins here. You can't see them, but I have a couple of 50-cent pieces here. But it was a word to describe coins in the Bible times. It was a word used for a coin that was full weight. It was a word to describe a coin in full face value. In ancient times, the minting process of coins was probably not as good as today, and the coins were in circulation longer than they are today, but they would wear thin so much. Now, I have this coin right here. was minted in 2017. And it is not a coin of the realm, you might say, but it is a silver coin, and it has the year of the rooster on it. That's why I got it. And it shines if I take it out of this little bag, because I don't want to get it all smudged up and everything, but it shines. Now, I have a couple of coins here. These are Walking Liberty half dollars. This one is so worn that you can barely read the date on it. But this one was minted in 1941. This one was minted in 1943. But they're both of them worn, seriously worn down. Now, when you look at a coin like this, because of their use, their face wears thin, and the face of the coin gets worn down, and coins would lose some of its face value. And it would lose some of its actual value, not because it was defaced, but because some of the actual weight of the coin was gone. It had become unworthy. It had lost some of its value. And the loss of that weight or substance usually wore the image off the face of the coin along with the weight. So it was made worth less. Now, when we say worthless, we usually mean worth nothing. But worth less is what a coin was when it was all worn down. In reality, this is the way we feel when Isaiah, we can't get around things of God. And he says, I don't want to do this. I feel unworthy in terms of this. And Isaiah's words, in fact, if you look at the scripture, he says, woe is me, for I am lost, which means woe is me because I don't have it together. And I'm in God's presence. And I get some of that from people who come to church on occasion. And Isaiah is saying the exact same thing that we would say. But it really sounds kind of highfalutin in the Bible. Woe is me, I am lost. I say, oh God, I feel terrible. I don't have it together. What am I doing here? I'm in here in the presence of God. How could I possibly expect God to take me seriously? I know that since I'm here, I've got to do the right thing, but now that I see what God is really like, the magnificence of his person, I don't have it. I don't know. I'm not worthy. And there are some of us, if the Lord would begin to speak to your hearts about certain things that he wants to work in your life, and you would say, hey, those kinds of things can't happen around me or in me because I'm worthless or worthless. I'm unworthy. And it's within that frame of mind that the Lord calls us into his presence, and we begin to worship. And as we worship and we say with our hearts, holy, 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 thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. There begins a transfer of his being and his nature into us. And the face that has been worn off of the coin of my life, the image of the living God that he created me to be, begins to be restored through worship in his presence. In a way, he remints us and restores us to face value, you might say. And worship is that situation in which wholeness begins to be restored. Because of the wear and tear of the world and our own sinfulness, we become small change, to use the coin image. And the Lord says, I'll remit your life so that it becomes worthy again, because it is my worth being poured into your life that gives you worth. Now, how often do we think, I don't deserve to really expect anything from God? Well, the question isn't really whether we deserve anything or not. We don't deserve anything, but still we say, whenever I think about coming into his presence, I feel so unworthy. And I want you to see in Isaiah a man who says the very same thing that you and I could say if we really get down to it. And I want to see what the Lord did. What he did was he sent a messenger who took the fire of God, not to burn him up, but to purge him, to purify him, to restore Isaiah. That coal on Isaiah's lips was something that took place in the spiritual realm. In a time of worship in the presence of God, it purged Isaiah's sin. It made his lips clean. Now, I want you to see that Isaiah was touched in the place which was sensitive to his own, where he was sensitive to his own impurity. Now, somebody here may say, you know, my problem really is in my heart. Another person may say, my problem is really in my mind. My mind is dirty, and I don't even feel like I ought to be in God's presence. Another person may say, my problem is in my flesh. I can't control my own body desires. And the Lord will purge you where you are sensitive to your own impurity. Any number of things that we bring into the presence of the Lord in worship. Now, Lord, I feel weak. I feel turned off by things happening in my life. I've grown cold. I've become apathetic. I don't have any zeal anymore. Lord, I'm blind. I can't see. That's where you let the Lord touch you with his fire, wherever you are incomplete or unclean or impure. And if it is your eyes, then that's what the Lord will do. If you're old, like this coin or like me, renew strength, sometimes collective. Marriages that need to be reminted, where two come into his presence and the wholeness is poured into that relationship. The Lord says, if you come before me and worship, you say, holy, holy, all things in you that aren't holy will begin to be made whole. And when the Lord summoned Isaiah, he came and confessed his sin. That's what it was. It was a confession. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he takes care of that sin, and then he gives him a mission. The mission and purpose of our lives is found in the context of worship as well. Now, what we do is we provide an environment for worship. But worship happens between you and God. That's the only place that you're going to find the real, true purpose of your life. You don't find eternal direction for your life in this world. You don't find what you're created for or direction or confidence or purpose out there in the world. That's where you get worn down like these coins. You find your intended destiny in the atmosphere of worship and in the presence of God. So Isaiah is worshiping the Lord. The fire comes and refines us like metal. The dross comes off of the surface. It's scraped off. The residue of sin is burned off. And that's what makes Isaiah worth more. The fire of God purifies and consumes that which is not worthy. There are some of us, and I know this because I take tours in people's lives. There are some of us who are just shoveling junk around in our lives, and we wish we could get rid of it. We push it under the bed, or we throw it in one of the closets of our lives, and the Lord says, why don't you come before me and let me burn it up? He's not going to burn you up, just the junk. Now, you may feel some of the heat, but it won't burn you up. Someone here may be suffering from some form of past bondage that has you tied up like ropes around your wrists. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that fiery furnace, the only thing that was burned off of them were the ropes that held them in bondage. And that's a pretty good trick, but it's the Lord who did it. Someone here may have a very hard heart towards life, or your heart has grown cold over time. Well, in worship, one of God's angels will bring the fire of God off the altar and will melt the hardness of heart, or it will melt the ice age in anybody's heart. Someone here may feel turned off. Well, the igniting power of God's fire will turn you on again, and the Lord will do that in the context of worship. His holiness will make us complete. But once again, we become so intimidated by God's holiness. You know, we hear and we read in the Bible where it says things like this, you shall be holy for I, the Lord God, am holy. And Jesus put it this way, be you perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Peter said, as the Lord your God is holy, so you also be holy in all matters of conversation. And most of us hear those things as requirements. The requirement is that because I'm holy, you be holy. And it comes down sounding very hard. And the first thing that I do is I start, well, I can't do that. I don't know about you, but I want to do what God says. And anyone who is a follower of Jesus may want to do what God says, but still I find myself sometimes very klutzy in the whole thing and very muddled and very confused at times. So I want you to hear what the Lord really says. He says, you be holy because I am the Lord God and I am going to add it on to you. I'm going to help you be whole and complete. And what you are created to be, you're going to be worth more, not worth less. I'm going to make you shine again when you were first created. Worship. It doesn't just happen, though. The likeness comes from being in his presence. You know, if you're around somebody for a while, you begin to think or act or talk and have the same mannerism, and it comes from being together. It literally rubs off on you. In order to be holy, complete, you have to be in his presence. And the restoration of God's image and holiness in us comes from being in his presence in worship. Because then he rubs off on us. When I come in my unworthiness to God, who is worthy and worship and praise him, then comes a restoration of myself, which you're not going to get out there. I come in my unholiness, my lostness, to him who is holy and his wholeness. And that begins to flow into me and to cover me as he does. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm lost, and Isaiah is doing what I would do. And the Lord says, take some of the fire that was off the altar here, and you go answer to the needs of my child Isaiah. And then you tell him, I've got a purpose for him. Now that's what we do. But it happens in the context of worship, in the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, in your presence, we actually come and are restored by your presence, by your glory. So I ask that you bring us all into worship in Jesus' name.